Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I've done tens of thousands of segments here. I've done tens of thousands of hours of radio here at WNST, and certainly in Baltimore over 32 years and a month. This is going to be an interesting one. We're doing a cup of Super Bowl next week. It is a Crab Cake Row. It begins on Monday at Fadley's. It's going to be a week-long celebration of our community. I thought we might be in the Super Bowl, but we're not. We're going to have a cup of soup or a bowl. The idea is real simple. You come out and have a free cup or bowl of soup if you donate to the Maryland Food Bank. We're also going to be featuring 100 other charities. Lots of folks going to be with us. Lots of familiar faces. Lots of friends. Luke has even said he's going to come down and hang out. And I don't know if you're going to have the ornithologically correct spring training hats that leaked over the weekend on. But Luke, I don't even want to say this out loud. And I know you didn't even want to send a WNST text. But this might really be happening with the Orioles. I was on my way to yoga on Tuesday night. It was 6 o'clock. News starts to break. I'm starting to jump into it. I don't know, dude. It must be like after like a country's a dictator falls and the country falls into sort of democracy or the appearance of democracy, because we all know that's fragile. But there certainly is a feeling here that ding dong, the witch is dead. And just the profanity on my timeline alone, directed at the Angelos family, lets me know that the end is nigh.
Well, I'll say this much, just on a very simplistic level. It sure beats having to commiserate solely about the Ravens losing in the AFC Championship.
That was so last Sunday, wasn't it?
I mean, but you think about
it. 48 hours ago.
How down everyone was, the commiserating about that's still going on days later. And we'll continue to, and we'll get back to that at some point in time. But
I got Todd Heap coming on later today.
Yeah, I think there were plenty of sentiments in the aftermath of that game, and even in the fourth quarter, let's say, when it was looking more and more like the Ravens weren't going to get the job done, that I saw more than a few people on social media say, this would be a good time for the Orioles to go out and get a starting pitcher. Well, they didn't do that, but certainly this is something that you hope is the means to doing more like that on the field.
Well, we haven't had a real sports town here in that. I mean, I've owned a sports radio station that's not even a really sports radio station, because the Orioles didn't – I've been doing this from the beginning. So F anybody that gets in my way is going to tell me how it goes, because I was there the day the stadium opened. I've been there every day until they threw me out, and you've been there every day since. So, like, you know, the whole notion that this isn't a big deal and that it could get worse. No, it couldn't get worse. I mean, like, literally, it could, because this time of the year, every year, for as long as I've owned this radio station, 25 years, quarter of a century, there's been, what, 1, 2, 3 years, maybe there's a little bit of hope in 2013, 15, maybe. I mean, like, maybe in the whole time I've owned the radio station. So it really isn't, it's an unbelievable thing to have 12 months of sports in it. You know what I mean? We had it last year, kind of, sort of. I mean, we really did. We went through divisions, but I go to Philadelphia, I bop into New York, I go to other places. They have other teams. We had one team here for all these years, and this other thing that you sit down there every summer and watch, which has been mostly gross until they were so bad that they got the number one pick every year that now they're good.
Well, I think for me, look, we don't know how this is going to work out, but to your point, certainly couldn't get any worse. And
it
there's
can't
a lease
get any worse.
Right. There's a lease in place.
What are they gonna
now,
do? Throw you out?
Right. Well,
right.
I'm talking in general, not you
no,
and me.
No, I'm talking
like
in general.
But,
yeah, I'm talking in how they operate.
But I think
how they operate with everybody.
I think for me, and look, they've had some times where they've been decent, but it's been fleeting, right? It was 12 through 16. Obviously, go back to the very beginning when Peter first bought the team. The first few years looked very promising on that front. They spent money. They had success in 96 and 97. They were very close to winning getting to a World Series in 97. But we know how it went. And I think for me, the hope, without knowing what this is going to look like, without knowing what the ownership group's going to look like, knowing how much they're going to spend, the hope is that if you're buying this thing, you want to fix it off the field, and you want to enhance and augment what's going on the field. And if that happens, and boy, this is really, really exciting because we've talked about it. Baseball operations has been largely fixed beyond ownership stepping up and increasing payroll and doing the things that you want to do to sign some players and re-sign some of your young players and try to get this thing across the finish line. They won 101 games last year. There's plenty of reason for excitement, but we've seen what this offseason's been like. They haven't done anything other than Craig Kimbrel. So I think there's...
I'm having a hard time getting my mind around them not running it. You know what I mean? Like it's just been so awful. I can't remove myself from the fact they don't have a starting pitcher and why and the money. And then the realities, the real realities. This is where I talk to David Rubenstein. I'll talk to these new people if they and just the real financial reality of the team is different than the football team that has $375 million falling off a truck every year, that handles their payroll, handles everything, handles national television. Baseball has money, a lot of money, but then you have to go compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox. It is a completely different model in that way. And quite frankly, back when Steve Bisciotti was, you know, hanging out in my condo and treating me like a human being, he would always tell me that he didn't want to buy a baseball team because it wasn't a fair system, because it was that much harder to – we all know that. We're baseball fans, right?
Sure.
But the notion that this is a small market, a mid-market, a depressed market, people don't want to go downtown, bang, bang, crime, I'm afraid of this, afraid of that, prices are too much, stadiums in disrepair or whatever they would say about the $600 million they're going to get to fix things in the stadium and make it more modern. I don't know. I mean, stadium's 33 years old now. So I would just say for me, where this money is coming from, and I don't want to be flipping about it with you or anybody else, Luke, it's coming from us. It's coming from me and my wife feeling good enough about Cal Ripken being involved that I'll pull my credit card out and give him $800 this year for a season ticket and go down there 13 times and spend the $14 on the blah, 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 blah. That's how the consumers get involved. And then there's the greater picture, and something that you and I know about because we sell sponsorships for a living, is that they were toxic. From a business standpoint, some of my sponsors do business. You see the Royal Farms ads and Wise Markets. Coons did business with them last year because they were winning. Dennis was, you know, admitting about that. But how many businesses are gone? Just gone, you know, after all these years, and what the value of those skyboxes and the values of their seats and the value of a playoff ticket last year in the minds of the people, people have to feel good about giving them money again, because the money has to come from somewhere, Luke. I keep saying that, like, yeah. Small market, big market, whatever. It comes from us caring and giving them money. NFL's different. Chad Steele can do whatever he wants to me, you, anybody, because they're like a mafia, the NFL. They're fat. They don't have any. Baseball teams, you know, I mean, you can talk about the owners, you can talk about their wealth, how rich Rubenstein is. These two guys are the fourth richest owner. That doesn't, the thing has to make sense as a business. And it hasn't made sense as a business because nobody went to the games. And because television's falling apart and the RSN's fault, they need a new, baseball's in trouble. Baseball needs a new revenue model all the way across for media. And the first thing they need to do, and I'll let you speak at this because I'm crazy. They need to be nice to people. They need to get guys named Aparicio back to the ballpark, because that's been a 30-year problem here. And the problem I've had waking up this morning is it real? Do I trust that they've lied so much? They're awful people. When are they getting out of the way? Who's going to be sitting in the owner's box on opening day? Who's going to be the president of the team? And those are the questions I have, because for 30 years, I can't get an answer. And if I got an answer, it was a lie. All they did was lie to people for 30. That is their legacy. Their legacy is just so awful. And feeling good about the team again, good enough not only to watch them on TV and buy a cable package and try to figure out how to get it on my phone when I'm driving Ocean City on a Friday night, right? But the notion that you feel good about them and it. And I was never a guy that could play pretend the way you and others could. Put your Oriole hat on and run down there and say, it's still my team. I'm too close to it for that. I mean, I know how awful these people are and how they've treated their own people, how they've treated everybody. That DNA, that feeling, it's like feeling different about a Russian flag if it ever falls to democracy. Like, that's how into it I've been, because it's affected my life and it's affected every conversation I've had for 30 years. I can't believe it. I'm in a state of shock, and I don't know what it's going to take for me to feel like, you know, the Third Reich is gone. I don't want to be too flippant, but just these awful people are no longer going to be a part of that, that I can wash that out. All the awfulness of flying to Texas with you and being sat at the kids' table and having all of their executives try to intimidate me in Arlington, Texas, 10 weeks ago, and then being told I have to shut up or you're not going to get a press pass. I mean, it's insane. And this is the crap that they've done for 30 years to everybody, and they're including their employees, including agents, including players, including families, including coaches, including broadcasters, Jim Hunter worrying every year, Fred Mann for whether they had a job or not. I mean, these people are awful people, and I want that, and that'll never go away. I want to feel good about it again. So I really hope that on a PR basis, whether it's John Maroon, whoever it is, that they can really step forward and show people that they're doing things differently, that they're not quiet. We're going to sit in the back. Come to the front. Come to the front, because people need to know you. And that would be my, and I'm losing my mind today because I can't get through who the pitchers are, but it's been years, dude. And I'm damaged. We're all damaged by this. We really are. The city was damaged by this. I saw it.
I don't disagree, but as I say to you all the time, the degree of fandom for people is different, and people, how you're going to attract people back. And then all those other things you mentioned.
Well, the unconditional fans they have, the people that are just going to love them no matter what, no matter how awful they are, no matter how bad they treated Mike Flanagan. You know what I mean? Like people that love them are going to love them. They're there. Now, what about the rest of us who have standards? Okay. Like, seriously.
But it still begins with winning. It does.
Well, they're already doing that. That's good.
They've been doing that for 2 years. Like, it's not, I mean, you need to sustain success. And in the process, all those other things you mentioned matter, but just because they treat people nice doesn't mean people are coming to the ballpark. I mean, that, you know,
it does when they lose.
People aren't coming to the ballpark when they lose. I mean, we know that. Come on, Ness. It's not about treating people nice to get them to come to the ballpark. You have to have a good product that people want to come. You can have the nicest people in the world running a restaurant. If their food stinks, no one's coming to eat there. I mean,
but if their food's good and they're jerks, you'll also find someplace else to eat.
I understand that. But again, when people are thinking about if they're getting season tickets, they're not thinking about what the team does from a PR standpoint first. They're thinking, do I want to go watch that product? And then
I feel good about it? Do I feel good about
doing that? Right. Yes. Yes. That all matters. But
do
again,
I like Adley Rutschman? Did I like Adam Jones? Do I want to root for the players? Or you may root for Albert Bell?
For me, it everything you just mentioned, I don't disagree with. But for me, my hope with this new ownership group coming in, assuming this is all going to happen, is can we normalize expectations? The Orioles, the one thing they've been great at doing for, I don't want to say 30 years because it hasn't been 30 years, but for probably about 20 now, is lowering the bar of expectation, doing the least, you know, doing the minimum to.
We're small market. We can't afford that guy. We're not right. Right. We don't do
exactly.
Things that
I mean,
way.
That's
Mr. Angelos doesn't like that. He doesn't believe in that. He doesn't believe in that.
It's been. You know, I mean, think about where their payroll was in 2000. I mean, they had the highest payroll in baseball now.
But they had money. They had 3 million people in the stadium. They had skyboxes sold. That's where the money went to Rafael Palmeiro and Roberto Alomar,
right?
Jimmy Key.
And the money went away because they operated terribly and people stopped coming as a result. And everything just withers away.
And they hired Aubrey Huff, who called the city a shithole. And then they expected people to come out and buy tickets for that clown. You know what I mean? They had Cindy Ponson.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they had losers, literally. And they've had losers run in the place, like Greg Bader and you know what I mean? People who didn't want to make friends and be nice to people. They wanted to say, F you, we're the Orioles. And that's the Angelos way. The Angelos way is, F you, we're the Orioles. Go watch the Phillies or the Nationals if you don't like it. Go root for the Yankees. You know, like that's how they've been.
They just haven't been very good. And again, everything else off the field, you're right. And from a business standpoint, you're right. All of that. But again, it starts with having a winning product on the field that people want to come watch. And then in the process of getting them in the building, give them a great experience. And you get more eyeballs. And then in turn, you have more sponsors that want to be associated with your brand. And you treat them well. And you have good partnerships on that front. I mean, it's all related. But again, for most people, you and I are so close to it. So our perspective is different than your typical fan
No, it's not, because they watched Kevin Brown this summer get fired and thrown off. And, like, I mean,
but my point is, we're connected.
The fans
to
are involved in it, though. The transparency of awfulness, and they really should see through the lies more than anything else. When the owner's sitting there in front of Dan Connolly, 54 weeks ago, saying he's going to open the books and pointing his fingers and being a jerk the one time he comes out, and then in the summer, the whole Kevin Brown, I'm not talking about ancient history and Peter and Nestor and Free the Birds of 2006 or Bird squirting me and our company not getting a $30,000 payment that they agreed to. Like, I'm not talking about stuff that happened last century. I'm talking about stuff that happened 8 weeks ago in Arlington that I was there, that happened last summer when Kevin Brown wasn't there on television for a month. And everybody around him, reminds me of Chad Steele, everybody had to lie for him. To this day, Jim Palmer still won't tell you what really happened with Kevin Brown. Ben McDonald looked the other way when I saw him. Everybody knows, but nobody can talk about it. Everybody knows the truth, but nobody can speak the truth. That's the Angelos way. And that has contributed to the problems on the field. And it's miraculous that they've gotten Mike Elias and Sig Meidel to come in here. And maybe these guys saw the end. And I think everybody that's ever worked for this team, including me, when they threw me out in 2006, if you think I thought Angelos would still be breathing in 2024 back in 2006, like, everybody thought he'll sell it, he'll get rid of it, he'll die. Something will happen. So, and it's never happened. And therefore, I'm still sitting here drinking a cup of Rofo this morning in my Cole Roofing mug thinking, is this really happening? Like, I can't believe I've never had this kind of, it's a pinch me moment. I'm having trouble coming to grips with what it would look like. Like, that if I go, it's unbelievable that 8 weeks from now I could go down there on opening day and there might be a press pass and it might be normal and I might not have the vibes about the Angelos family and they might have a new owner throwing the first pitch. Like, all the things that the Washington football people have dealt with this year, right? Like, that whole, I mean, I hope our guy doesn't go drunk on Monday Night Football like that guy did. But I think their rollout of those people are gone is really important. Not they're still going to own 60%, dad's still breathing, and John's going to hang on for another year or two to F it up more. By doing nothing, by doing this inactive thing that they've done the last 6 months when they're good, because Elias can't have his arms tied behind his back the next 2 years for this to go well in regard to signing their superstars, in regard to the money. This, they need to, by opening day at spring training, invite us down to spring training, you know, things like that, and let people know that they're gone. I mean, that would be my biggest message to everybody, is they need to be gone immediately. And if that's what this is, that they're going to own 40% but have controlling interest until dad dies because of the tax situation, and that's my understanding of it. Because the initial report, Luke, was that it's 60-40. This guy's buying in. He's going to be like Steve. He's going to sit back, and Art's going to run, and David are going to run the team for a while, for 5 years. It's going to be that. I don't think that's the case here. I think the case here is he's only going to own 40, but he's going to be the controlling partner, because that's what this situation needs. This situation doesn't need another year of John Boy hanging on and taking a champagne shower in October during the wild card round. This needs – he needs to be gone, and really gone, not – gone pretend, and we're just going to tell Nestor and Connolly and the reporters that this is the way it is. Gone, like, whoever's running Masson, who's running the broadcast, they have a different boss. And that has to happen in 8 weeks, and I don't know that that's going to happen. And I think if this thing – I'll just say this. When the news leaked, and I love John Arand. He's coming on tomorrow. I've known John forever. He's an Oriole fan. He lives down in Virginia. He owes me a crab cake, SOB. When I saw it with John, I thought, this is another Angelos ruse, like the one you were a part of up in the press box with Wes Moore, where they're going to put headlines out and they're going to make stuff up and they're just going to say there's a new owner coming and John Boy's going to muscle up and show up and be John Wayne at spring training. Because I don't come at me on January 30th and tell me there's a new owner and on opening day, John's still running the place, because that, I'm nonplussed by that. Because if this thing, if the old man breathes for another 3, 4, 5 years, and I think Rubenstein knows, I mean, these people are billionaires. They're smart people. I don't think they, if they're putting their money in, they're not going to let John F it up any longer than February 1st, hopefully. You know, but I'm giddy about it, but I need to know it's real because these people have lied so many times. Anytime their name's involved in it, I think there's a catch. There always was a catch. I mean, literally, there always was a catch with the Angelos family. It was never as it appeared to be ever.
Well, nothing's official until the ink's dry and it's approved by Major League Baseball. So the timetable for that, we'll have to see how that works out. But
so I won't get too excited. Thank you.
Well, and that's where, look, it's been 30 years of this. If it's not next week, but it is coming and it is going to become official and it is going to be real, then great. Right? I mean, it's not. The idea isn't it must be fixed 2 months from now. The idea is it needs to be fixed. Big picture. And that's where I'm hopeful in the sense of normalizing expectations that we're not talking about this team having the 29th payroll in baseball. We're not talking about this team being in a position where making the playoffs feels like it's a miraculous thing and you needed this five-year rebuild in order to even put yourself in this position. To not be in a position where you're not even talking about free agents. To not be in a position where the ballpark is empty and people don't want to come. And to your point, people who do come or people who do try to do business with the organization is treated poorly. All of those things, my hope is that expectations can become normalized, that we're raising the bar once again in the way that the bar has been much higher for the Ravens for a quarter century now than it's been for the Orioles. And the Ravens have been way more successful on the field. Sunday's disappointment notwithstanding, of course. But you know, I'm hopeful on that front. I don't know how this ownership group's going to operate. I have questions right now in terms of how does this get worked out with Masson in terms of how Major League Baseball views that with the Nationals, and what is the vision for the future of a TV deal and all of that every single market in baseball is talking about right now. And oh yeah. How does this ownership group feel about Mike Elias and baseball operations? I hope they really like him, but that's not a guarantee, right? I mean, the owners sometimes want to.
Well, Mike Elias will like these guys a whole lot more if they give him latitude and the money to actually do what they need to do to win.
I understand. Right. Agree. But at the same time, they still have to work well together, right? So these are fair questions. And to be clear, none of what I'm laying out there is suggesting that this isn't a good thing for the Baltimore Orioles. This is a great thing, you hope. For the Baltimore Orioles.
It can't
and
be
to your
worse.
Point, it can't be worse. But at the same time, I do want it to be way better. So, and 30 years ago, 31 years ago, people were really excited when Peter Angelos bought the team. And it looked really promising for 4 or 5 years. And then we know how it went after that. So, and I don't say that to be doom and gloom. Let's be very clear. It's just there's unknown, but there's a major excitement and optimism about the unknown, especially when you're talking about. Yeah, even if it's private equity, but billionaires coming into the picture and an ownership group that reportedly is going to include Cal Ripken and some other types, which, look, I'm not saying, that looks good from a perception.
That's eyewash,
standpoint.
Though. I agree with you. Yeah.
But it still looks good, though. It's still something, to my point about fans who aren't sitting there thinking about John Angelos on a daily basis or the business side on a daily basis beyond I want the team to be good and I don't want them to embarrass themselves in the way that they did with the Kevin Brown fiasco last summer. That looks good. That still looks promising. That's still something that you put Cal Ripken and you associate him with the brand, automatically it's looking better, right? Doesn't mean it's fixed. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but like I said, normalize expectations for this franchise. And now with a lease in place and you hope what is going to be an infusion of money to go out and spend some money on some baseball players and spend money to keep some of the really good young baseball players you have. The timing of this is very exciting from that standpoint. From an on-field standpoint, it is exciting knowing about what the possibilities can be. Look, we've said it all along. It's not the Yankees. It's not the Mets. It's not the Dodgers. But it doesn't mean it has to be the Oakland A's or the Rays either. So, can you find that sweet spot in terms of building this thing up? Camden Yards is going to be renovated in the coming years. You have this young core. You still have what's regarded as the best farm system in baseball. There's a lot going for this organization that wasn't 5 years ago, but it's always been with the caveat, but ownership. What about ownership? And now you're hoping that's going to, not hoping, going to change and change for the better and hopefully much better. And if that happens, then boy, things become way more exciting around here, beyond just talking about Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson.
Luke Jones is here. I would say he'd be in Owings Mills, and he will be on Friday when they do the state of the state thing for selected media. Luke has been selected. I have been unselected on Friday to ask questions about, oh, running the ball six times with running backs on Sunday. So we'll get to all of that. But on the baseball side, you and I haven't had a baseball conversation. We had a few off the air, nothing really on the air. Forget Rubenstein, forget Angelos. Let's just talk about Mike Elias and where they really are, and they can make any deal they want to make, right? I mean, it's not about signing a $200 million pitcher at this point, right? We're past that point of we're going to go get the Padres guy and give him a six-year deal for $200 million. But Dylan Cease, Westberg, Holiday, I'm not saying they're going to deal Holiday because they're not, but the prospects, the bank of prospects they have, where they are with Mullins and money, where they are with other players that are coming up for money, whether it's Rutschman, whether it's Henderson, what they're going to do with their money. What do you think they should do? And what do you believe that they're going to have a starting pitcher before? I mean, this is like yelling at DaCosta about not having a rush edge. And then all of a sudden Clowney and Van Noy show up. It happens this way. You'd like to think it's going to be better than Lyles or some of the stuff we've seen in previous years, but where are you with the pitching? I believe they will, I don't say make a blockbuster deal. I believe they're going to move a couple of prospects and get a real pitcher. I believe that'll happen before opening day.
I think so. But until it happens, Nestor, I am skeptical. And it's not just because of ownership or lack of, a willingness to spend money.
It's a baseball
thing. Even
with
this, how quickly is this going to happen, right? So I think we do need to be very clear about how Mike Elias wants to operate and how much is that going to change. Time's going to tell, right? I mean, we don't know. And again, how quickly is this process going to play out? We certainly have to recognize that as the process does play out, I'm not sure that there is going to be funds for him to go sign somebody, right? Of note. So yeah, you do look at it from a trade standpoint. I think if nothing is evident at this point, it's Mike Elias values his prospects. I think that is clear at this point in time, that he's not going to part with top guys if he doesn't feel that he's getting appropriate value in return in terms of whether it's a Dylan Cease or whoever it might be. So do I think they're going to have another pitcher in place by, let's say, at least midway through spring training? Sure. Am I convinced it's going to be a top half of the rotation guy? Well, until we see it, I am going to be a little skeptical. And, we've heard other names out there like Michael Lorenzen, for example, who was a commodity at the trade deadline and even threw a no-hitter for the Phillies. But, well, then we saw how it played out. He wasn't even in their playoff rotation because it didn't go so well. So,
and we had the same situation with the deal we made.
Yeah,
around
yeah,
here, right?
Right. Jack Flaherty, who was a major disappointment. So,
well, that's what I was going to say. I'm not as crazy about this because I think they'll go out and hold their water in April, May, and June. If that if that leads to their Scherzer or their Verlander on July 30th,
maybe,
and they're and they're going to win 94 games anyway, whatever it's going to be. I'm not. They don't have to win 115 games. They don't have to have five Jim Palmers. You know what I mean? Like they need to hang in, stay healthy, yep, have a plan, and when Westberg's hitting 321 at the All-Star break and you can deal him and get that guy or whatever it is, I'm long playing this. I'm not a guy that believes the – dude, I did radio back in the 90s when you were a puppy, and we would sit around here when we didn't have a football team, and we would sit around here and be like, who are the starting 24? 20 was 25. Who are we going to have the starting pick? Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because whatever they come north with, whoever was going to Rochester or Ottawa or Tidewater or wherever it's going to be, Norfolk, whatever they're calling them this week, there's an up and down now. There's time for all of this. And they're not a diminished friend. They'll be fine with whatever five pitchers they have in the organization for a month or two or three. But long term, when it comes to playing games in October, as you know, they got to be better than they were last year with starting pitching. And Texas proved that.
No question about it. No question about it. And I mean, to your point, Mike Elias even said this last week when they were doing the caravan thing, but they won 101 games last year and most of that roster is back, right? And certainly no one of major consequence, with apologies to Kyle Gibson, who, look, was a solid innings eater for them, but Kyle Gibson wasn't the difference between them winning 101 and missing the playoffs, right? Like, let's be clear about where they are right now. So you're absolutely right on that front. And if this last year has taught us anything here in Baltimore, Orioles, 101 wins, best record in the American League. Ravens, 13-4, best record in the NFL. And neither of them made it to the pinnacle, right? So that's not to diminish either franchise for the success that they did have in 23 and all the fun it was. But it shows that being the best team in the regular season is not the end-all be-all in terms of winning it all. So, yeah, you're right on that front. And again, maybe with the timing of however this transition in ownership is going to go, that might complicate things a little bit in the short term, but you're hopeful, and they certainly have the assets and they certainly have the prospects that even if the move doesn't come in the next 2 weeks, that a move is going to come, and maybe two moves, you know, maybe three moves, who knows? I mean, depending on how it plays out. But in the meantime, yeah, there's plenty of reason to be really excited about this franchise, even more so now than yesterday or last week or last month, because of what we're all expecting, hoping, anticipating, praying, however you want to describe it, that this story is for real, because we've said it all along. Even baseball guys like me who aren't paying as close attention to the business side and the off-field side of things, it's all connected in the end. It is. And that's why we said, for as great a job as Mike Elias and baseball operations have done over these last 4 to 5 years, they were always going to come to that inflection point where you say, okay, it's built. Good young base of players, good farm system, payroll flexibility. You've got a really low payroll right now that you can augment and go out and spend. And doesn't mean you're spending $250 million, but it means you're spending more than you are now. And you've got a chance to really make something good, turn it into great, or turn it into historic. And now with that piece, and I don't even want to say piece is the wrong word, with that major dynamic changing, this all becomes that much more exciting, because now you do really feel and start to believe that this thing could be special and this thing could be sustained if it's run properly. And now hoping you have the appropriate amount of support from ownership to make this thing, turn it from good, which it's been good the last couple of years, been really good was last year, make it great. Push it across the finish line, and not just do it in terms of thinking about making one potential run that you hope the stars align, but the idea that the Baltimore Orioles could be a great franchise moving forward, both on and off the field. And that's something we haven't felt that way about this team in a long time. That goes all the way back to even before Peter Angelos, really since about the early 80s when, you know, the farm system started to dry up. So that's exciting. That's something that I haven't seen in my lifetime, other than some very fleeting periods of time, and really never off the field feeling as good as you hope it can feel here moving forward with a new ownership group.
You live long enough, things change. That's you know, what we should know. Hope. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He's out on all the social medias. I am Nestor. I am going to be doing a cup of Super Bowl. It is Crab Cake Row all next week. On Monday, we kick it off at Fadley's at Lexington Market. Tuesday, we're going to be at Costas. Wednesday, at Coco's Pub in Lauraville. Thursday, we will be on the west side at State Fair in Catonsville. And on Friday, at Pappas in Cockeysville. Sorry it's not a purple pep rally all next week, but we're doing it all for the Maryland Food Bank. You bring out goods for the Maryland Food Bank, we give you a cup of soup or bowl of soup, Maryland crab, cream of crab, or 50-50, which Luke and I had a long conversation. You can check that out in the WNST Audio Vault about the delights of 50-50 soup for those of you who have never combined your cream of crab and your Maryland crab. This is your opportunity to do it free of charge. Delicious. And Fadley's on Monday, Costas on Tuesday, Coco's on Wednesday. You know what I should have done is, if anybody comes to all five, I should have given them something. I don't know. $50 Royal Farms gift card or something like that. But either way, come on out. Enjoy yourself next week. Be a part of the show. Have lunch with us. Stop and get an iced tea or an afternoon beverage. We'll be broadcasting live from 9 until 5. If you're listening to Morning Drive, you'll be hearing Luke and I and other things talking about football and other things. I've had a great week of radio so far. We're only halfway through the week. The Orioles have been sold. Coach Billick has been by. Todd Heap has been by. Matt Stover stopped by talking about being calm during all of this. And we've talked at length about the Kansas City Chiefs and what they came in and did to the Ravens in regard to rattling their cages. It's been a tough week around here, And a quick pick me up for those of you who love baseball and the Orioles. My last name's Aparicio. I kind of like baseball. I'll be following the story. You can find everything that we know and do and write up at BaltimorePositive.com. And I do hope that you come out and say hello next week at one of our five. We're coming to you. We're coming to your neighborhood, east, north, south, west. We're going everywhere next week. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We will have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. Roz gave me a fresh batch here this week, so I'll have fresh lottery tickets to give away. So we'll have some winners next week as well. Our friends at Window Nation, big appreciation to them, 866-90-NATION, as well as Jiffy Lube Multicare pitching in to make the Crab Cake Tour awesome. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. A new day is dawning. New Oriole ownership. We'll have plenty to talk about with that. Stay with us.